Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I'm speaking with two young ladies from the Academy of the Holy Family in Baltic. Thank you for joining me. We have Sarah Cloutier and Gabriela Velasquez. So I know both of you girls go to the Academy of Holy Family, yes. And you belong to the Top Life Club.
Yeah, can you tell us,
could you tell us a little bit about the Top Life Club, and then I know we want to talk a lot about the March for Life.
Well, this year the Top Life Club it consists of about 20 girls from our school, which is big. It's bigger than last year
when I first came. Your school is not very big.
Yeah, it's like 60 girls total. But we set up, have these coffee houses every few months to raise money for our pro-life billboard that we have. And we just, together as a group, we went to the March for Life this year. And we just do these active group activities, and we do it every few months, and we just talk, we try to spread the word throughout the whole school, to even the girls who aren't involved with the club to get involved and just to spread the word.
That's and soon we're going to have a Youth for Life conference.
Excellent.
I think it's on the 27th.
Yeah, March 27th. It's a Youth for Life conference.
Mm-hmm. And all youth are invited.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're going to have entertainment, speakers.
And we're going to go to Mass, and we're going to have, I think, confession too.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like a full day.
Excellent. Yeah. One of the sisters helped you start the club at the academy.
Sister Marie Andre.
And you've grown obviously to this huge. How long have you two been in the club?
I came in last year, and I was a junior, and I came in the middle of the year. So I pretty much started like right when I came into the school.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, I started like right time when she started. I started as a sophomore.
And I know one of the big things that you guys do is the billboards. And can you tell us a little bit about what the billboard project is?
Well, we pretty much just want to like show like women that who are pregnant, teenagers, that they have somewhere to go, someone who cares for them, and they have a number that they can call. And it's just there is help for them, and people do care.
And it's very effective too, because you kind of a captive audience, and you put the billboards alongside the roads, and it really does get some information out where a lot of women might not get the information.
There's always a short message saying how precious life is, and there's always a if you're pregnant, call this number so that people could help you. It's a crisis pregnancy number.
Excellent.
And it says like it's sponsored by the Academy of the Holy Family.
So I know, Gabriela, you've gone to the March for Life many times. How about you, Sarah?
This year was actually my first year.
Your first year.
Yeah.
And so What made you decide to go this year?
Well, Gabby said that it was a lot of fun and that it was like really moving, and it was the first time I went, and there were so many people that I didn't know that were pro-life, and because, you know, in the media and everyone doesn't seem to be, they don't give that message.
That's right. Because so, you never see the pictures of all of the marchers.
You don't see how much dedication young people have.
And it's not on the news. They don't cover it.
No. And I looked. I specifically always look to see if I because you see the helicopters flying around.
Yeah.
You know somebody's taking pictures, but you cannot.
You don't hear about it the next day at all.
I know. Mm-hmm. And you'd think even on the internet there would be something, but
and there were millions of people. From everywhere.
There were definitely more people this year than any other year.
Every year there's more. It's amazing.
So you go the first time. What was your first impression?
I was very overwhelmed because I don't like big crowds. So I was very clingy to Gabby and her mom.
It's not a hostile crowd, but you can easily lose
people.
You can
easily get lost.
Even if you get lost, there are people there who are not gonna yell at you or be mean.
Right.
They will try to help you find where you belong.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you don't have to worry.
Yeah, it's a very friendly crowd, and it's amazing. I know we've said in the beginning, I know that the March for Life was a very somber thing, you know, because it's obviously commemorating the Roe versus Wade decision that legalized abortion in the United States. And the people used to just go up Constitution Avenue silent. It's not like that anymore.
No, it was extremely loud. There were bands playing, and
there's
there were like drums. There was just like random people playing the drums, you know, and they're all pro-life and doing the same thing we're doing. So,
I mean, people are standing up for life, but they're just showing, you know, the face, really the face of pro-life, and it's people who love life and just want to share, mm-hmm. and it's really amazing how young the crowd is. Was that something that surprised you?
Yeah, because they're all like our age or like in their 20s. It's not old people, you know.
Yeah, like they make it to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So. I really thought the first year I went, I thought I was young, and I think I was probably in my 30s, and I had my young son with me, and I was fairly young at that time for the crowd. But every year, it's getting younger and younger and younger. It's amazing.
It's comforting because we know that we're not the only ones.
Right, and it's hopeful too because mm-hmm. it's, you know. One of the articles, I think Friar Roderick was telling me about, was saying that, you know, the reason why they shortened the march, because it used to be from the ellipse where the, you know, where the Washington Monument is, they used to walk from there to the Supreme Court, which is much longer. And they said the reason why they shortened it was because the crowd's getting older and they can't make the march.
Yeah, they obviously haven't seen pictures from it because it's a total opposite.
They are so out of touch. They don't even bother coming to take pictures. Mm-hmm. They just make things up. So yeah, it's amazing how young the march is getting. So tell us a little bit about the experience. Now, I know in the past you've gone with your mom. This is the first time that you went with just a group of friends.
Pretty much, yeah.
And what did you guys do? You get on the bus.
Well, we all met at our parking lot. We got on mm-hmm. the buses around 9 o'clock the night before the march, and we went straight down. We made, like, two stops, and we arrived at the cathedral or the basilica mm-hmm. at around, like, 5 a.m., and we were supposed to, and Mass is at 7, so we had, like, a two-hour wait.
Yeah, we thought it was for 6:30, so we got there 2 hours early. So, but we did a lot of like sightseeing inside the cathedral.
It's beautiful.
There's so much to see. It's amazing. It's such a beautiful place.
And so, you guys, did you attend the Mass?
Yes.
The big Mass. That mm-hmm. was. I mean, it was.
People were sitting on the floor.
Only.
There yeah. was like no room at all, but it was.
And they said that the basilica was packed to capacity the night before as well for the vigil Mass.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just imagine.
And there were a lot of people there that morning, too.
Right.
The whole church was filled.
I know. We couldn't get a seat.
And there were people standing in the back. There were hundreds of people standing
we're
in the back.
We're lucky we got the 2 hours early. We wouldn't have gotten a seat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you wouldn't have taken the bus.
And the Mass was long.
Yes, it was. Well, communion was so long.
Yeah.
For all those. But it's amazing to see all of the priests and the bishops there. I mean, and you realize at the same time that that's going on, there's that many people, if not more, at the Verizon Center. Because they have the youth Mass at the Verizon Center with all the priests and the bishops there. So it's multiplied, you know. So it's just growing and growing and growing. And the Verizon Center apparently had to have overflow, you know, so they had six other places.
Yeah, they had to turn people away.
Right.
I remember that,
yeah. So after you go to Mass, which is a great way to start the day, what did you guys do?
We went to her mom's kids, keep infants with Down syndrome.
We had a meeting with Congresswoman Kathy McMorris Rogers, who has a son with Down syndrome. She's kind of like our advocate.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Congress. She's from the state of Washington. And she kind of gave us like a little pep rally for that group of mm-hmm. people who were there for kids
march
with the group.
So we
kids.
Stood up for that group.
Oh,
and we marched
with them.
Yeah. Oh, great. I know before the March for Life, you were on Gabby with your mom, and we talked about how as many people as there are in Washington, D.C. at that day, you always run into people. And it's amazing that you run into the people that you know. And I did. I ran into your mom.
Oh, yeah, we saw you.
And I ran into our camera fellas. And I ran into the friars that, you know, help out here, too, and as directors and cameramen. And it's just, it's amazing how as many people as there are, you always do end up running into the
you don't even
play
out. Like the people like, you haven't seen for years, you meet them there, you don't know.
Absolutely.
It's cool.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about the day. Once you get to, after your meeting with the senator, or the congressman or senator?
Congressman.
Where did you guys go?
We went to the mall where they were giving all the speeches, and that lasted for about like an hour and a half. And then after that, the whole group had to kind of wait for the flow of movement to go, because it takes a while for that many people to start going in one direction.
Yeah.
And after that, we just marched down.
So where were you guys situated during the speeches?
We're kind of to the left of the stage. We could hear it, but we weren't too close. So. Mm-hmm.
And even so, even though you were kind of near the what you would think would be the beginning, because there were people spread way back, way back.
We were considered to be in the front of the line.
How long did it take you guys to before you could actually flow into the march?
I'm not sure, but it was a while.
Yeah, it took a long time.
A while.
we were even farther ahead of you, mm-hmm. and it took us 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And because I saw where your mom was, and so we had kind of weaved our way up, because you could hardly hear the speeches. There were just so many people, you couldn't get anywhere near the stage.
I know.
It was hard to walk.
Yeah. it was amazing. And we were talked about this, too, that in the past, once you got marching, it seemed like things moved really, you know, you were walking. And if you even slowed down, you know, you'd almost get run over, because there people were walking fast and there's so many people.
Yeah.
But this year, there were so many people
that
it was crawling the whole
last
way.
Last year. I don't know. I don't really remember this, but this year we were so packed. We were touching people next to us. We didn't even know them. But
yeah, they were like on
move.
Top of us when we were walking. It was crazy.
it was really, really, really packed. I can't. Is that your feeling too? That it was more people this year than ever?
Yeah, definitely.
So you went with 20 girls, right?
Well, not all of them went, but they all couldn't make it. But.
Yeah.
How many girls did you
12 girls to the academy, yeah.
And how many were new to the experience?
Just about half of them. Well, no,
most
more
of
than
them.
Half.
Yeah.
Really?
Most of them, yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
awesome. And what were some of the feedback that you got from the girls?
They were very tired.
Overwhelmed, but they...
They had fun. It was fun, though.
Yeah,
it is. It's definitely a sacrifice, you know, especially taking the bus.
Yeah.
Because you don't get sleep. If anyone says they get sleep on the bus, I don't believe it. But, and like you say, I mean, even if you did get sleep, you're up by 5 at the, you know, once you're at the Basilica, and you pretty much don't get on the bus again until about what time?
We didn't get there until 4. We had to be at the bus at 4.
Yeah, and then we kind of got delayed, but we were planning to leave at 4.
Yeah, and that was a little scary. I've heard a lot of people saying that they needed to be at their bus by 3 or 3:30,
and we were still in the march.
Exactly.
We were trying to get to our bus, and we were like miles away, and they were going to leave without us. So we had to hurry along.
So do you think anybody was changed by this experience?
Definitely. I mean, once the girls finished complaining about how tired they were, they would say how memorable this will be for them, how they want to come next year, how they want to try to spend the word out to girls in our school or their friends from their parishes or whatever, and that they want to bring more people because they touched them so much that they really feel kind of like brought a spark to their enthusiasm for the pro-life cause. So.
And do you feel that there's a spark now in the group that you're going to even...
They're
actually, this year?
Since the March for Life, there have been more girls joining the Top Life Club.
And we had a coffee house like right after the march.
It was packed. It was the biggest coffee house we've ever had.
Wow.
So
tell us a little bit about the coffee houses if people are interested in coming to the coffee house.
Well, usually we have, I don't think.
Like 2 to 3 every school year.
Yeah. It's just like we're raising money for the billboards for Top Life. And there's entertainment. Anyone can entertain.
We have topics. We have speakers come for the topics. Like last May, I think, they had families with Down syndrome or with children with disabilities, and my mom spoke, and she brought my little sister.
Yeah, sometimes there's a theme, so we go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the theme of the last?
Haiti.
Haiti. Haiti Relief.
So there was one of the girls that went to our school. She doesn't go there anymore, but her mom adopted a few kids from Haiti, and she brought them, and she spoke about them, and she showed us a slideshow and a video and pictures, and it was very sad because like she showed us like the earthquake,
right.
And the pictures.
The media will never show you.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, Haiti was in bad shape before the earthquake, so you just compound it with the tragedy of the earthquake, and I mean, I'm hoping that at least you know this if this horrible tragedy might bring a little bit. Even more help to Haiti because they certainly need it. When do you have the next coffee house planned for?
I don't think we have one yet.
You don't have them planned?
Maybe it's in May, I think. Maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah. But our next big event is the Youth for Life Youth Conference. For Life.
Right, and you said that was March 27th.
Yes.
Right. And if somebody wanted to get information on that, is there a website or phone number?
They could contact Sister Marie Andre. I don't know what her number is, but...
But the Academy of the Holy Family right. would be
on the
one to call.
On the website, you'll be able to find her.
You could email her.
Email her.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that I know that she puts on a dynamite program, so
yeah.
that it's very worthwhile. Yeah, very worthwhile.
We were involved with it so much last year. We helped set up through a whole day.
We got entertainers. We got everybody for it.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
It went really well last year.
So let me ask you this, Sarah. Have you always been pro-life?
Always, all my life.
And is this an influence from your parents or?
Yes, my mom is extreme, and her mom, so I've had it.
So it was a no-brainer for you to join the pro-life group. How about the other girls? Are most of them have always been pro-life, or do you feel that you've influenced people at your school?
I think we definitely influenced people because before there was no one in the Top Life Club, and now we have over 20 girls.
It would start out strong in the beginning, and then it would.
We had seven. At least seven people.
But this year it's grown so much. It's just so comforting to see that.
And what do you credit to that? What do you credit? How did you get those girls? How did you attract them?
We just talked about the coffee houses, how much fun they are, and how the Youth for Life last year, and we brought them into that, and they saw that, because Sister Marie Andre, she talks about it all the time, even in Spanish class, she talks about it in Spanish. But it's just, I don't know, you get into it and then you see other girls doing it and they're like, oh, okay,
so it's a good cause. We also tell them the truth about abortion. You're actually killing a baby. It's not a blob of tissue or whatever you want to call it. It's a real baby. And I think that also affects them, too.
So you think that's the most effective argument, is illustrating to the girls that abortion does kill a child?
Right, and the pictures that they showed last year for the Youth for Life, there were very graphic pictures
of aborted babies.
Right.
Yeah, I think sometimes, people don't want to see that, but if they don't want to see it...
Yeah, some people might be turned off, might have the opposite reaction, but...
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to see it, obviously it shouldn't be happening.
Right. Yeah, you know it's wrong.
Absolutely. If it's so, if it's so aberrant to look at, obviously it shouldn't be happening at all. And so maybe that would move somebody to want to do something mm-hmm. about it. Have you guys participated in the 40 Days for Life?
Yes, I do that every year.
Yeah, my mom signs up. I'm with her. Well, Linda signs up in front of the abortion clinic.
In the rain.
Yeah, we brought her in the rain one time.
Yeah.
So could you tell people a little bit about your experience at the 40 Days for Life?
Well, we usually sign up for an hour at a time. We'd hold signs. We'd pray the rosary. We usually get in three rosaries. But as the people passed by, most of them were positive. A few times you'd get a beep and someone would yell something at you.
Yeah. Lovely people.
Most of the time it was positive.
Yeah. I think that's the most surprising thing, is that there are people that do support you, mm-hmm. and I was amazed at throughout the 40 Days for Life campaigns how many people would stop.
I think there are more people that are pro-life than pro-choice, because more people, they have a conscience, they know what's wrong, they're born with it, so.
It's not natural, abortion's not natural.
No. And why do you suppose that 1.3 or 1.2 million women choose to kill their babies every year?
Probably
not told the truth about what really
they're
happens.
They're lied to, and they have they don't have a proper family. Their boyfriend got them pregnant, or they don't have
pressure,
the money,
yeah.
the pressure.
What do you think the most effective argument would be, or what would you do if you were faced with a friend who was pregnant and was contemplating an abortion?
I would absolutely get in there and be like, don't you dare. I'd probably smack her.
That might not be the most effective thing.
That's a convincer otherwise.
I would gently try to convince her that this is your baby. Would you want to kill your actual child? I would tell her the truth, not in gory details, but mm-hmm. try to nicely convince her and tell her that the truth of what's inside her, and offer your help. I can give you this number, they can help you. Or you could even offer to take the baby for them, mm-hmm. if you were that If you're really pro-life, show it. Right. Show her that you're really pro-life and you're right. willing to take the child.
Mm-hmm. And then maybe she'll turn pro-life.
Yeah, right. She'll change her mind and decide to keep the child.
Well, definitely illustrate that she has more options than just an abortion. Right.
So adoption.
Right. And do you, in your group, do you talk about things? Do you talk about how you would convince a friend? Is that some of the topics you discuss in your club?
Sometimes, yeah. Well, like real life circumstances, what would you do if this came up to
you? Actually, we were just working on the billboard layout for that. Like we were saying, not me, you know.
You're taking pictures for the billboards. Like, what is the most effective way to, like, in this, while people are driving by, they look at this billboard, what are they going to see? Want to bring the point across, and, like, the right words, the right message to put on the billboard.
And what's the new message that you have?
There is hope. You can get help. People do care. And there's the number on
that's,
the bottom.
That's really true. That's so true. And you think that would reach the young woman who's contemplating abortion. I think you're right. I think that is a really effective message.
Short and sweet, but it gets it across.
Yeah, and it has to be fast because, you know, you're driving by.
Right, because you're passing by. You want to look quick.
And hope is a very potent, emotion. You know, it's really going to grab their attention, I would hope.
Yeah.
So what other plans do you guys have? You guys have this great conference coming up March 27th. And again, people can get a hold of Sister Marie Andre at the Academy of Holy Family in Baltic. Sometimes you have these coffee houses and you think maybe one's coming up in May. And again, those are great for entertainment, but you also get some information about pro-life. Information out to people, and you raise funds for your billboards, which is really effective media. People don't realize how effective billboards really are.
This past one, though, was raised for Haiti, like money to send to Haiti so they can get
past
Haiti Relief.
Coffee Club, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully you'll be able to get 12 more girls to go to the March for Life next year, because I just sit there at the March for Life and think if every person there
brought
one other person next year, it doubles.
Right.
Well, our group last year definitely doubled that went down, so that was a good thing to see.
I didn't go last year because I had something planned that weekend, so I couldn't go, or else I would have.
Right, right. So. Even though you had never been before.
Right.
And were you a little nervous about going?
I was extremely nervous.
Were you?
Because I am so scared of crowds. Just getting lost in crowds, not knowing what to do. So, yeah, I was nervous, but I knew I had Gabby. She'd take care of me.
A veteran.
So, so she knew what to do.
Did you guys bring cell phones?
I don't have a cell phone.
I don't have a cell phone, so.
We had walkie-talkies one year.
Yeah.
Even so, one time, you know, you say you have a hard time finding people. We went down and we wanted to meet somebody there. And we both had cell phones and we were talking to each other. We could not find each other for anything. So you
even
can imagine, you run into people that you don't expect, but the people you're trying to find, there's no way. So what other things would you like, what other topics do you think the Top Life Club would like to approach in the next year?
Maybe chastity and purity, because that leads to pregnancy if you're not following that. So maybe preventing
getting pregnant in the first place.
Premarital pregnancy.
Right. Through modesty, the way you dress, the way you act around guys, and just to show them how to be a proper Catholic young woman.
So these are things that you would talk about in your Top Life group, and then would you bring a speaker to the school to influence some of the other girls too?
We're actually starting a chastity club that's going to be run by young women who live a life of modesty and like in the way they present themselves. And a couple of them are married, so they'll show us like how to have a good relationship, a healthy relationship. It doesn't have to involve
sexual activity or anything.
Yeah. So I think a lot of girls at our school need to know, like, need to learn
need
that
to
message
understand.
And spread it to other girls, like their friends. Because I don't know any other high school that has a chastity club like around here.
Right.
But
right.
I think it really, really need it.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that would be a really powerful message to send to the girls, not just at your school, but like you say, to spread to their friends. Because you don't get that message anywhere else anymore. Yeah. You know, I mean, it used to be that women were protective of, you know, themselves and their own chastity, but now, I mean, if you just watch television for more than 10 minutes.
And in the music, in the movies, everything seems to revolve around one thing, and it's really not. It's not what life's about.
I know. I mean, it's so endemic because I remember my daughter, when she was a kindergartner, she had a friend come over, and my daughter doesn't really play with dolls, but she does love cats. So they had their cats, you know, dressed up in the doll clothes, and this little girl, kindergartner, came down and says, "Oh, isn't my cat sexy?" I'm like, what do you say to that? She's in kindergarten. Why would you have a anything dressed sexy? Or even know?
I know what that is.
I know. She's like a five-year-old.
I just can't imagine, you know? And, you know, I think it started a while ago with, like, even Madonna. You know, kids trying to dress up, girls trying to dress up like Madonna, like, way before you guys were born.
Or Britney Spears.
Yeah, yeah, now it's Britney Spears and Lady Gaga and all those immoral people.
Yeah, they're bad.
That are role models.
And, you know, they're not happy. Those people are not happy.
No.
And you hear their lives in the tabloids, not even tabloids, but, like, everywhere. Their lives are exposed. They're not happy. They're on drugs.
They're in rehabs. They're multiple times.
Yeah.
And we're holding these people up as role models for our little girls.
For what?
This is crazy, absolutely crazy. It's hard enough. We talk about this too. It's hard enough to find modest clothes.
Yes.
Do you find that difficult?
In Walmart, I can't even find a skirt that goes below my knee, or in Kohl's or anywhere.
Yeah.
It's all like way up here.
I know. And it's not just for
even the shirts. They come way down.
Or they're built.
Or way up. Uh-huh. Or the pants are way down, and the shirts are way up.
Or the pants are too tight.
So where do you find clothes? You just have to...
Hand-me-downs.
You have to really go searching. You can't just go to the store and pick up a big outfit, if you want to be modest. It's really hard.
I know I find it hard for my 11-year-old girl, you know? So I can't imagine for girls... Because I dread when she moves up into the teenage clothes.
It is difficult looking for clothes.
I'm starting to dress her like in petites, you know, like adult petites.
Yeah.
Try to find things that are more classy. But yeah, it's really difficult. So I really, really commend you for all that you're doing to promote life, especially in your school and beyond. And I really hope that this chastity group, you know, takes off and you can open it to all the other schools.
Yeah, we need to look at these women who are good Catholic women who have relationships or are married or have families, and teach them, like, have them teach girls how to do that, mm-hmm. how to be happy, how to be successful, how to love God, and just have a beautiful family
and live their faith.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you guys can come back. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you've learned something. We hope that you found out that you too want to go to the March for Life next year. And when you look in the mirror the next time, you realize yours too is the face of pro-life. Join us again next time.